loss, Baron Kamata. I will take 10 orcish heads. Can you keep up with that?
I have never turned down a hunter's wager yet, Blackmane.
There is much scorn I could pour on the knightly houses, for their politics slowed the response to the greenskin invasion and cost many lives. But they produced a warrior of the scorched knight's caliber, and so I cannot show them too much disdain. It was then that I received the vox report from our Stormwolf wings in the air. Lord Backman, Thunderfall Squadron is pursuing a wing of orc aircraft. It's a bombing run. We have accounted for half their number, but they will still hit us hard.
Then the greenskin attacks were to keep us in place while they hit us from the air. It passes for a plan by their standards, but it will not work. Space Wolves, Cadians, take cover!
There were more aircraft than the orcs should ever have been able to field on Alaric Pratt. The greenskin technology was possessed of some kind of mad genius that made those rusting crates airworthy. Dozens of bombs poured down on us. Hundreds of bombs fell. They hit the Cadians. I could hear the men burning. They lost hundreds in moments. Good men. Brave men. I saw Lord Ragnar silhouetted by the firestorm as the worst of it rained down. And then the vox net opened up, and I heard the voice of a scorched knight.
Lord Blackmane, my power plant is ruptured. Plasma is leaking into the thorax and the hatch is jammed. It's not looking too good from where I'm sitting.
Hold fast! I shall be with you soon. My blood claws can make it. We will get you out of there!
Everything around me is burning. My life is not worth the space wolves who will be lost if the plant goes critical. We had a fine hunt, Ragnar.
Lord Blackmane does not abandon his brothers. Hold fast and survive! We will be there! Damn it! Fetch me a jump pack!
It was always going to end this way, Ragnar. This knight has served me well, but she does make for a tempting target. I'm amazed!
No!
When the smoke blew off the ridge, the destruction was terrible. Hundreds of Cadians had not reached shelter in time. They lay dead or dying in burning craters. But the most awful sight was the scorched knight. It still stood, but the upper half of its chest was a melted ruin. The cockpit was gone. Dairos Kamata was dead. When I think back, I still cannot read what I saw on Lord Blackmane's face. It was as if his eyes were flakes of ice, and his skin was of cold iron. For a moment, there was just silence. Then, he turned to me.
Rune Priest, place the mark upon my blade. Frost Fang hungers.
What rune should I strike, my lord?
Vengeance.
The greenskins are massing for another charge.
Then, be quick about it.
It seemed I had placed 1,000 runes on the weapons of my battle brothers while we fought for that ridge. I pictured a symbol of chill hatred, and I laid my hand on Frostfang's blade. The rune burned there in cold fire. I could feel the same rune burned across the heart of Lord Blackmane. I could see the orcs approaching, thousands of them in a green tide. In their midst was their warlord. A towering creature riding a tank festooned with gun turrets and blades. I could see its fangs bared as it grinned. I could see, through my sighted eye, the alien's joy at the prospect of slaughtering Space Wolf and Cadian alike.
The sons of Fenris, the green skin, thinks we are defeated. He thinks we are weak, but all he has done is stoke in us the rage the whole galaxy has learned to fear. 10 orchids are not enough for one imperial corpse. I will not take 10. I will not take 100 nor 1,000. This rage will not be stoked until every greenskin on Alaric Prime is dead.
I have seen the volcanoes that rise from the oceans of Fenris in the season of fire. I have witnessed storms that bring down mountains, But I have never witnessed such rage as burned inside Ragnar Blackmane then. And though I am a rune priest, I must always strive to keep my soul in check. I felt it too. Blackmane's rage is no mere anger, Wolf Priest. It is a force that floods into every space wolf. I wanted nothing more than to leap into the fray and kill every orc I could see. Forgive me. That anger burned in me.
But what then, Uli? What of Blackmane?
The great wolf Grimnar was behind our lines, leading the battle alongside the Imperial commanders. I had access to the command box, and I heard his response.
Blackmane, I have reports of an air attack on your position. What is your situation?
The wounds have done no more than bloody our claws, great wolf. I am giving the order to charge.
No, Blackmane, your orders are to hold that ridge. If the orcs break through, the whole Imperial line could fall.
The orcs have taken our lives for too long. The time has come to slaughter them.
Ragnar, hold your position. Ragnar Blackmane, in the name of Rus and the Allfather, your liege lord, commands you to hold your position.
I go now to extract the price of our dead in green skin flesh. Who is with me? Then charge, sons of Fenris, by fire and blade, by tooth and claw. Charge!
Even as the Cadians were pulling their wounded from the rabble, we abandoned their side and joined Ragnar's charge. Brother Einar's swift claws leapt into the saddles of their bikes and roared after him. The Sky Claws hurtled in his wake on their jump packs. Even the Grey Hunters and Longfangs, whose rage should have been tempered by the discipline of a veteran, ran from cover to join the fight. And of course, I was among them.
It was the death of the Scorched Knight that spurred Blackmane's anger?
So it seemed, but I am not certain.
How so, Rune Priest?
Whenever Lord Blackmane was near, I could feel that rage inside him, under his surface. It was quiet while he kept it caged, but it was always there. I wonder now if it needed much reason to be unleashed. When the Scorched Knight fell, was it a terrible enough blow that it could only be answered with such anger? Or did the rage itself simply use Kamata's death as a trigger to take Ragnar over?
But what of the battle that followed?
It was slaughter.
What vermin are these that stand before me? I am Ragnar Blackmane. I am the young king of Fenris. What senseless animal thinks he can look upon me and live?
Greenskins are without number, Lord Ragnar. I can see no end of them.
Then cut them down until there are few enough to count. Stand by my side, Rune Priest. And should I die here, live on, that the chapter might know of what I did. That one tasted sweet. But Frostfang is still thirsty. These aliens know our greatness, Uli Iceclaw. See how they throw themselves on our blades. This one thinks he's clever. He's not so quick to charge in. He wants to find an opening. But Frostfang isn't my only weapon. These are the fangs and teeth of a Fenrisian. The blade through the gut is too good for your green skin. A broken neck is all you get!
Behind you, Lord Ragnar! They're pressing in on all sides. It's the war machine. The warlord is heading straight for us.
Uli, blood claws! Keep them off me! This one's mine!
The warlord was one of the biggest of its kind I have ever seen. Only the strongest and most vicious orcs ever get to lead a whole tribe to war. Lord Ragnar vaulted onto the tank and ran at it as if there was nothing else he wanted in this galaxy but to kill that greenskin. It wielded a giant hammer. I was sure Ragnar would have to evade it or be crushed flat, but he caught the weapon on his chest and wrenched it out of the orc's hand. Then, Frostfang flashed. Those hands were sliced off. The warlord stared down at the stumps of its wrists. At that moment of shock was the opening Ragnar needed for the kill. Frostfang soared through the warlord's neck, and its head came free of its shoulders. Ragnar held the head up high so that all the tribe could see what had become of their leader.
This is the one you followed across the stars to despoil this world? This is the lord who made you cower? Look at it now, greenskins, and know what you are. You are prey!
So, Lord Ragnar had made good on his promise of revenge. Many orcs lay dead, and their leader was among the slain.
But then I saw how much we had paid. Of Einar's Swiftclaw pack, half lay dead, dragged down off their bikes, butchered on the ground. As I watched, a grey hunter, cut off from his pack, was surrounded, beaten down, and torn apart. We had paid for this with space wolf lives, and there was worse to come.
Ragnar, we are surrounded. The orcs have flooded in behind us and cut us off from the ridge. The Cadians could not hold our flank. We have pushed forwards too far.
Then we fight on, Rune Priest.
Even Ragnar Blackmane cannot kill them all.
Then we die well.
But what of the people of Alaric Prime? What of all the dead from defeats that would have been victories had we not died here? For revenge on this day, you have sacrificed our future. Half your great company stands here, surrounded by foes we cannot defeat. Was it worth throwing their lives away to brandish one orcish head?
You spoke thus to him?
I knew I had gone too far. It was my duty to follow my wolf lord into the jaws of hell, not curse him as a headstrong fool. But I could see nothing then save the bodies of my brother's space wolves, trampled in the mud.
What did Blackmane say in reply?
Nothing. He fixed me with a stare that could freeze an ocean. But then, the greenskins found heart again. I felt their anger rise to a crescendo, and they charged. In the shadow of that war machine, I fought back to back with my space wolf brothers, and in moments my axe was heavy with gore. The orc bodies piled up into a rampart of the dead. But though we might each kill 10 of them, 100 eventually, they took one of ours. I saw Brother Halfrad, Gundar's Grey Hunter's pack, his head split open down to the collar by an orc's cleaver. The blood claws howled and countercharged whenever they opened up enough space, but each time they fell back with one of their number wounded or dead. I lost sight of Lord Ragnar, so dense was the press of orcs around us. Then, above the gunfire and the cries of the wounded, I heard the sound of engines. 3 Stormwolf gunships, wearing the livery of the great wolf Logan Grimnar, swooped down from the sky. And leaning from the ramp, I saw Grimnar himself, the axe Morkai, in his hand.
Blackmane, I see once more the Alpha Wolf must drag the headstrong whelp out of trouble. Much as I would love for you to learn your lesson, I cannot let my brothers die out here surrounded. My wolf guard will cut a path for you, back to our lives. I trust you can show enough sense, at least, to follow it.
The great wolf brought with him three packs of Wolfguard, Grimnar's own personal troops in Terminator armor. They were amongst the best warriors in our chapter. Our ranks cheered as they leapt down from their gunships.
And did you cheer as well, Uli Iceclaw? Were you as relieved as your battle brothers?
I do not know, Wolf Priest. True, where we had faced death, we now had a chance. But with the certainty of death removed, my thoughts had leave to go elsewhere, and I saw how troubled I was. Ragnar was my wolf lord, the young king of Fenris. We idolized him. Already, my brothers and I had memorized his sagas and sought to emulate the skill and fury he showed in battle. But now I saw something else in Ragnar Blackmane.
You speak of Blackmane's rage. The rage that had cost so many lives and brought a whole great company so close to destruction.
My brothers were dead. The Imperial line was compromised. All that could have been avoided. Had we held our ground, we could have weathered whatever storm the orcs threw at us. The cost would have been high, but we would have held. Imperial Command had a plan to shatter the army of orcs that faced us. Now, whatever that plan was, it was in tatters, for we had not played our part. Instead, we had followed a leader driven by headstrong anger, and many of us lay butchered in the mud because of it. This mighty Lord of Fenris, in whom I had seen the very exemplar of our chapter, now seemed to me no more than a berserker who would lead us all to a fruitless death.
I have served as Wolf Priest for many years, Uli. Since before you were ever made a Space Wolf. And in that time, my purpose has been to minister to the spiritual needs of my brethren. To watch for the sins of the mind that might lead them down a wayward path. And of those sins, one of the gravest is doubt. What you saw in Blackmane's conduct planted that doubt in you. That is what I must fight, just as you fought the Greenskins.
But how can I forget the sight of my battle brothers torn apart by orcish hands? How can I ignore the despair I felt to know that we would die out there for nothing?
Go on, Uli Iceclaw. Your tale does not end there.
Grimnar and his Wolfguard landed beside us. With a roar of assault cannon and storm bolters, they forced back the first ranks of the orcs. The storm wolves circled overhead, strafing the orcs or picking out their war machines with pinpoint fire. Then, Grimnar held the axe Morkai aloft so that all could see it.
With me, sons of Fenris, we will cut a bloody canyon through this green-skinned flesh.
Fight beside me, Uli! The rune you placed on my blade still burns bright. It will take plenty more orc blood to douse that fire.
And so I fought. I had lost count of the orcs I had killed, though they numbered a pittance compared to Blackmane's tally. We forged through the orc ranks, following the bloody wake of Grimnar and the Wolfguard. Even as the Greenskins reeled, I saw one of the Wolfguard fall. He was pulled down by a mass of orcs who used crude cutting torches to carve his armor apart. One of our finest lost to the chapter because Ragnar Blackmane had given in to his rage. We were within sight of the Imperial line. The Cadians had suffered badly, and their fortifications were aflame, but they were still manned. The remains of the Scorched Knight still burned. We were close. I let the hope kindle in my heart that we would survive this. But this battle was not over. A great shadow passed over us. I looked up to see an enormous war machine flying above us in a mockery of logic. From its hull hung hundreds of gibbets, each containing an Imperial Guard prisoner. stripped of his war gear, bleeding and left there to die for the amusement of the orcs. Its gun packs blazed, and our storm wolves had to back away or be blasted from the sky.
What you saw was called the Sky Gouger. It had led attacks on Imperial positions since the beginning of the war for Alaric Prime. Already it had gained a reputation like death itself, for wherever it went, it left just corpses. Imperial Command had tried to track it, but some Xenos technology made it invisible to our augurs. It was only seen when the orcs wished to inflict punishment on Imperial forces, and they summoned it to punish the Space Wolves.
The Sky Gouger. So, that is what they called it. To us, it seemed the final insult. That orcs can even build something that flies is obscene enough. That it should intercept us just when our line was within sight. That seemed calculated to drain us of hope. Perhaps the timing was deliberate. Perhaps the orcs wanted us to know hope, and then have it snatched away. So we would be weakened in the final moments by despair.
But Space Marines do not know despair.
No, Wolf Priest. We do not. But the orcs were going to try their best to make us know it. Their assault forces launched from the Sky Gouger in their dozens. They were jump-pack troops in black-painted armor. Where most greenskins fought with wildness and savagery, these were disciplined and ruthless. They fell upon our Grey Hunters and Blood Claws, avoiding the guns and blades of Grimnar's Wolfguard. Cannon on the Sky Gouger rained the fire, forcing our formation apart so the greenskin assault could isolate and butcher us. I saw the great wolf surrounded by 7 or 8 of them, keeping them at bay with great swings of the axe Morkai. The rest of the orcs took heart from the Sky Gouger's appearance, and they massed once more, ready to swarm and finish us off.
No! Not now! Not when we are so close! It will not end this way, my brothers! You, Skyclaw! You are wounded! Can you fight?
The young warrior did not respond. His right arm had been crushed, and though I knew that he would fight on with his teeth if needs be, the day's battle was over for him.
Then give me your jump back!
Lord Blackman, what are you doing?
If I am to fall here, it will not be in the mud on my knees. It will be taking the fight to the enemy as a Space Wolf should!
You will die!
Not so, for I will not be alone. There lies another fallen brother. He will not fight anymore, but his war gear can still serve. Take his jump pack and follow me. The rune on my blade has grown dull, and I have need of a rune priest. Your wolf lord has spoken, Bully Iceclaw.
I buckled on the jump pack. I knew what insanity this was, but my wolf lord had spoken.
Was that the only reason you followed him?
In truth, Wolf Priest, I cannot say. The Sky Gouger had drifted low to drop off its troops, low enough for a bound of the jump pack to reach it. Ragnar leapt before me. I barely made it onto the war machine. The hull of the Sky Gouger was crawling with orc drop troops, massing for the next wave. Ragnar dived into them, full of the fury that had caused him to abandon our lines. I felt, kindling in my heart again, that same fury. I had not thought it possible, for I had seen the cost of such recklessness, but I could not deny it. My mind was full of the Battle Brothers who had died that day, the Blood Claws and Grey Hunters slain as the Orcs surrounded us, the Wolfguard who had followed Grimnar's rescue mission, all butchered by greenskin hands. And I wanted what Ragnar wanted. I want to kill them all.
What alien eyes are worthy to look on a space wolf? Look well, for it is the last thing you will see. This is my runex, an extension of this psyker's mind. I hear your kind can fight on with a severed limb. But how can you fight when I sever your soul?
That is the fate of all your kind. To return to red mist and ash.
Well fought, Rune Priest. We must bring this metal beast down.
Blackmane reached the prow of the Sky Gouger. He tore the canopy off the cockpit. The Orc pilot barely had time to show surprise before Frostfang took his head. I followed Lord Blackmane inside the hull. The stench was awful. Rotting meat and sweat. Gnawed bones and body parts were everywhere. The Sky Gouger had taken hundreds of Imperial Guard prisoners, and this was where they had died. Stunted versions of the Greenskins scurried away at our approach. Orcs tried to bar our way, but Blackmane was possessed with a rage. And so was I.
It is an honor greater than your Xenos filth deserve to die on Frostfang's blade.
We should let one of you live to tell the other green-skinned filth of what happens when you make war on the Space Wolves. But not you!
Press on, Wolf Priest! We need to find something this Hulk cannot fly without.
But I did not see the shape in the shadows, looming up from the depths of the Sky Gouger's hold. It hit me before I could react. I saw an orc, one of their leaders by its size, perhaps even huger than the warlord Ragnar had slain. Around its neck hung 100 dog tags torn from guardsmen's necks. It had taken their medals too, and wore them on its armored chest in a mockery of the brave men it had killed. On its head was a Cadian officer's cap, still stained with the blood of the man who had worn it. The orc's limbs were clad in black steel, and each hand was a mechanical claw to tear and crush. The greenskin howled, as if in mockery of the noble howls of our chapter, and beckoned Ragnar forward. The wolflord leapt. Blackmane and the orc commander clashed, and they were matched in strength. In the confines of the Sky Gouger, there was only room to wrestle. In the open, Ragnar's swordsmanship might have cut the orc to pieces and left him open for the killing blow. But here, it was face to face. The claws seeking to grab and crush as the orc's bulk pinned Blackmane to the ground. My head swam and my body would not respond as I wished. I crawled closer.
Ollie, if this creature bests me, return to the chapter. Tell them how I died.
But this time, I did not obey. I placed my hand on the side of Ragnar's breastplate. I willed there a rune of defiance, of honor and fury, a symbol of the High Kings of Fenris from an age remembered only by the stones. I dredged up every drop of will I had. My body was spent, but my mind was still a weapon, and as the claws crashed home, the rune flared bright.
Fenrisian guile, beats Xenos Baron, and Space Wolf steel beats everything.
Frostfang pierced the greenskin's heart. I saw the light go out in its eyes. I felt the rage-filled fires of its life extinguished as it fell to the deck. Ragnar paused to help me to my feet and rampaged on through the carrier. The Greenskins' resolve was shattered as they saw their commander fall, and they fled before us as Lord Blackmane tore engines and fuel lines apart. I felt the Sky Gouger lurch.
It is time to leave.
As we leapt from the carrier and our jump pack slowed our descent, I watched the Sky Gouger falling in flames. It crashed into the heart of the orcs. I saw 1,000 of them die in that storm of flame and wreckage. The orcs fled from us. The Great Wolf led the way back to the Imperial lines with Lord Ragnar fighting by his side. When we reached our positions on the ridge, I saw the Cadians rejoicing that the Sky Gouger had fallen and the orcs had been so thoroughly beaten.
But you did not rejoice, Uli Iceclaw. Though your battle brothers cheered the deaths of so many greenskins, I see no joy in your face.
No, Wolf Priest. I thought only of my brothers who had fallen, and of how the rage of Ragnar Blackmane was scarcely less responsible for their death than the greenskins.
But you do not have the perspective of a wolf priest. You saw Ragnar's rage bring the space wolves to the edge of defeat. But what did you see when Ragnar boarded the Sky Gouger? You felt that same rage then, and you saw what it did to the enemy. Do you think anyone else could have brought down the Sky Gouger? It was Ragnar's rage that made it possible. That anger cost us many lives, but it also brought us a victory where nothing else could have.
Then it is no surprise for you to hear of what his rage can do.
It is not. Long ago, we looked on the young Ragnar Blackmane, promoted to the Wolf Guard directly from the Blood Claws. An unheard of feat. We knew what would happen if he ever rose to the position of Wolf Lord, of how many of our brothers would pay for his anger with their lives. But we also saw how many victories it would bring us, how many enemies would fall before it, who would otherwise survive. And we decided the price of his recklessness was worth the victories it would bring us.
I have but one question for you, Ulrich, if I may.
Speak on, Rune Priest.
You say the Wolf Priests made a decision on Ragnar's fitness to serve as a Wolf Lord. But if the cost becomes too high, if the chapter suffers too greatly from his rages, could that decision be reversed?
The orcs are charging again. Look fast, Rune Priest. We need all battle brothers on the line.
Sons of Fenrir! The orcs will not stop until this world is barren and despoiled. But when the smoke has cleared and the blood soaked into the earth, it is the Space Wolves who will be standing atop a mountain of Orcish dead!
Doomseeker by Nick Keim, read by Ramon Tickram and Toby Longworth. The first cut was a straight line. It drew blood and carried a sting that banished enervation as the wound reopened.
Barak, Garrick.
The second was at a slant. It brought savage pride and revulsion to his gorge that this hunt was not yet ended.
Borgard, Magni.
The third crossed the other two. It went deep, right to his hot, beating heart. It brought him to purpose, so he would not rest until the deed was done.
Efka, Skog, Fenrir.
The final cut was jagged, a saw-toothed tear in his skin. Here then was wrath and retribution with clenched fist and bared teeth, as the face of his quarry came to mind.
Hagni.
It had been so long since he had spoken, since he had needed to speak, that his voice came out in a rasp. Seven names for warriors dead, committed forever to memory and now to flesh, and one for a warrior lost, his reckoning at hand. Ice was already riming Skeln's exposed forearm, sealing the freshly cleaved wounds. A skirling wind was coming from the north, carrying thick snowdrifts that did little to impede his hunter's senses. Rising from his haunches, Skeln let the storm thrash him. He closed his eyes and listened, drinking in every scent, sifting through the cold for something familiar, something he could track. Blue-gray power armor turned to white in seconds, clumps of snow sticking to the hoarfrost already crusting the battle plate. He would wait for hours if necessary. The Space Wolf had waited for 6 days already, delving deeper into Skorbad's ice wastes, trekking across swathes of tundra and vast frozen lakes that shimmered like panes of frosted glass, cracking underfoot with every step. At last, he detected a mote of something not born of the ice and cold. It was flesh and fur, the faintest redolence of a former brother turned feral by his genetic heritage.
I am Lone Wolf.
Nearby, an axe blade stood up, half buried in the ground. No mortal man could have put it there, or likewise retrieved it. Skeln clenched the leather-bound haft with hairy knuckled fingers and wrenched the weapon free with a single grunt of effort.
I am Lone Wolf!
He fought the wind and its growing ferocity, cowing it with his bared fangs. Reaching over his bare shoulder, he took a makeshift shield from his back. It was fashioned from the door of a broken drop pod, a section of it at least. The slab-sided capsule was the last sign of life Skeln had seen for hours. It had no markings, just iron gray, like the streaks in his black beard. But it was smashed open, as if whatever it had once harbored had broken loose. Skeln cared not. He knew his prey and would seek it out or die in the attempt.
Agnin! Doom has come! It has come for you, brother!
Shrieking wind answered, and within it something not of Skorbad. This sound brought a feral smile to Skeln's lips. A howl carried on the breeze, one he had heard before. Throwing back his head, Skeln howled back.
Challenge accepted.
Fast into the wind and snow. Featureless white gave way to rugged grey rock and slabbed steps that rose up into a fearsome mountain crag.
Here, then, is where you have made your lair, brother.
He looked up as far as a dense bank of cloud obscuring the summit. The wind had died down but was louder, funneled through the peaks and caverns of the mountain. There was no pass or causeway, only a sheer-sided ice cliff that Skeln hoped would lead to a vantage where he could better gain his bearings. Standing at the foot of the cliff, first mentally mapping his route with the hand and footholds he could see, he secured his weapons to his armor and began to climb. Ice-caked rock crunched under his powerful grip even without the strength of his gauntlets. Like his arm greave and van brace and one pauldron on his left side, he discarded his gauntlets to better embrace the fury of the elements. As a pup, he'd endured worse on Fenris. Whilst stalking the mountains of the Maelstrom for Fenrir, he was almost naked and carried a long Fenrisian blade on his back as protection. It was a false comfort, of course. No weapon could protect a warrior against a thunderwolf if the beast wanted you dead. He had defeated Fenrir through tenacity, strength, and eventually dominance. Shackling the beast but never fully taming it, he had won its respect and bent it to his will. Now Fenrir lay dead, a frozen corpse far behind him outside the ruins of Hellspire, where he had left the rest of his pack. A rot had set into this world, claiming the lives of his brothers and their mounts. They had come to destroy a plague, to burn it with a conflagration that even the ice of this frigid land could not resist. Blackened was the crater they had left behind. Seven graves attended it. Skelm would add an eighth. The fate of Hagnin's beast was unknown, but it was likely dead too, devoured by its former master. Skeln snarled at the thought of it as he clung to the cliff face, releasing a wet leopard growl to vocalize his displeasure.
The hunt does not end until you or I are dead, brother.
His breath ghosted the air with the heat of the threat. Above him, the cracked rock was thick with crevices, crags, and small fissures. It made for an easy climb. And as Skeln peered through the enveloping mist, he thought he discerned the edge of a plateau. Grinning, he was about to carry on when the scent of something strange and unfamiliar pricked his nostrils. For several days he had acclimatized to Skorbad, grown accustomed to its sounds and smells, like any wolf would familiarize itself with its territory. Any foreign sensation to that established geography would stand out like the reek of a corpse. But it wasn't putrefaction that made Skeln halt his ascent. It was an acerbic aroma, like acid bile on his tongue or ammonia making his eyes water. He licked his canines, snarling at the taste, and released his right hand so he could untether the axe on his back. Holding on one-handed, Skeln listened to the tone and cadence of the mountain.
Longworth!
The wind answered his announcement, howling and shrieking through the mountains as before. As he thumbed the stud on the end of his axe's pommel to activate the weapon's power field, Skeln caught sight of something scaling down the cliff towards him on all fours. It was fast, and hard to see even with the space wolf's preternatural senses. A shadow darted through the fog, which had grown up and thickened around him as if the mountain itself was his enemy and this monster's willing ally. He whistled to taunt the beast.
Come on, then.
Skeln tracked the shadow creature's movements, urging it to attack as his mouth filled with hot, wet saliva.
Come and be measured against my blade.
His grip on the mountain vice-like, he swung the axe around in his free hand, loosening his wrist. It hummed through the air, tiny droplets of mist fizzing sharply against the energized blade.
I will cut you open, spill you into the air, red and warm as I murder make.
And as Skeln eyed the approaching shadow, already crafting the attack he would use in his mind's eye, it vanished. One second the shadow was there, prowling towards him, a low growl on its lips, and then it was gone. A mocking silence fell. And in it, Skeln roared.
Coward!
He smacked the flat of his blade against the cliff, spitting out sparks of electrical discharge and fragments of rock to vent his frustration.
The warrior I knew would not balk from a fight. Come on, you craven beast! Or are you too?
The shadow returned, flitting across Skeln's vision in a dagger slash of blackness, and like smoke, it was gone again, but left behind knifing pain in the space wolf's flank. Agony supplanted anger, and crying out, he clutched his wounded side. Four deep tracts had been carved through plate and flesh, oozing crimson. Skeln bit his lip, drawing blood. The taste of it filled his mouth, provoking his feral aspect. His incisors grew, a savage tattoo thrumming in his heart. His ears pricked up to listen for danger. Flared nostrils analyzed every smell, trying to pinpoint the one that would give his attacker away. Eyes narrowed. A snarl rumbled from deep within his belly as he looked around slowly for any sign of his assailant. No boast this time. No foolish attempts to goad his old warrior brother. Hagnin had his scent, so Skeln knew he was at a disadvantage. He turned, putting the cliff at his back and his solitary handhold at an awkward angle. The risk was worth it. Cold stone, Skeln knew, would not betray him as the mist had. He whistled again, long and low, a reminder to his quarry that he was still the hunter. Something scurried above him, lightning fast, a smear of black against grey before it was gone. Craning his his neck, acutely aware of the lactic acid building in his shoulder while it supported his entire weight. Skeln searched the grey. Nothing. Three turns of his axe brought a low power hum emanating off the blade. Impatience gnawed at his resolve. Ice was clinging to Skeln's body in a thick veneer, merging him with the mountain. Soon, he would become just another gnarled crag, jutting from the face encased by merciless cold.
Waiting.
When the second attack came, Skeln was ready. He smelled the creature before he saw it dank and acerbic, lashing out with his axe a moment later. A shriek of pain rewarded his efforts as the blade bit, but only barely. In the same instant, Skeln was mauled, pain flaring bright and hungry in his shoulder and neck. The blow was so swift, he'd been unable to discern the nature of his attacker. More pressing concerns presented themselves. Blood was pumping readily from his neck, and he dropped the power axe as his fingers went numb from the shock translated down his shoulder. Disarmed, he thought about his knife, but dismissed it as a last resort only. Strength fleeing his body with every drop of blood shed, Skeln realized he couldn't stay on the cliff. Surprise attack be damned, he had to climb. Hand over hand, claws digging deep into the rock, Skeln reached the rocky shelf as a third attack threw him up over the lip and onto the plateau itself. He sprawled, tumbling badly across jagged ground, and came to a halt when his back and arm struck unyielding stone. The heavy impact sent a tremor up the mountainside that resonated all the way to the summit. Skeln had barely blinked the red flashes from his vision when a loud crack sounded from above. It grew in ferocity, loud as a battle cannon by the time he had pulled himself up onto one knee. Eyes wide, Skeln gazed into the maw of a white abyss, descending like a hammer from on high.
Very ass of rust!
Ice, rock, and snow, the avalanche smashed into him. Darkness claimed his sight quickly, his last image that of a shadow staring at him through the fog. Hard to tell with all the noise, but Skeln could have sworn it was mocking him. Silence fell after that, silence and cold, as the space wolf's world was swallowed whole. A long hall stretched out before him, seemingly without end. Skeln was standing at its threshold, and he had no knowledge of how he got here or what was behind him. Tall, angular columns punctuated a broad processional of flagstones etched with runes along either edge. Cooking meat, the aroma of wheat and fermentation resolved on a shallow breeze that beckoned him forwards. Slow but steady, Skeln made his way along the path. As he walked, he saw statues between each of the columns set into giant, magnificent alcoves. They were warriors of the rout, but not armored in ceramite or clasping bolters. Rather, they wore leather and scale, great cloaks of fur or hooded wolf pelts. In their marble fists, they clenched spears, swords, and clubs. It was only then that Skeln realized his own attire had changed, that he too was dressed in more ancient garb that echoed the trappings of his statuesque forebears.
What is this place?
At the end of the processional, a brazier pan ignited into roaring flame and a massive wooden throne was revealed in the light.
It is my hall.
A king was sitting upon the throne, his arms banded in torques, his vambraces polished bronze and a gilded crown upon his brow. Be nothing other than this hall's liege lord.
I am Skeln, of the Space Wolves.
Despite himself in the face of this ancient king, he did not sound certain. The king shifted forwards on his throne, smiling fairly, as if regarding a packmate.
I know who you are.
As he got closer, Skeln noticed how muscular the king was, how broad his back and shoulders were, like the slabs of a mountain. A necklace of tooth and claw rested upon his huge chest, which rose and fell quickly, as if his metabolism was burning at an exponential rate. His wild hair was fair and unkempt, an immense wolf's head draped over one meaty shoulder. Standing only a few handspans away, Skeln realized the king was even larger and more powerful than him.
Impossible. You are no mere man.
He wanted to reach out and see if this apparition was real, but became suddenly wary of extending a hand towards the Alpha Wolf.
I am cast in my father's image, a warrior of the rout, the son of Fenris.
Indeed you are.
The king smiled again, and nodded to the ground at Skeln's feet. Where before there was rune-engraved stone, now a pool of ice shimmered in its stead.
Look into the ice, Skeln, and tell me what you see.
Unable to do anything except obey, Skeln looked. At first there was only ice, so pure and crisp, it was almost silver in color. A ripple from some unfelt breeze disturbed the surface. Impossibly, the ice moved. And where before there was nothing, suddenly there was depth. And Skeln was peering into the fathoms of a vast lake. Down he went, down into the deeps, his senses clouding, his heart beating harder, his lungs fighting for breath. At the bottom of the lake, something moved. It uncoiled like a black serpent, camouflaged by the inky resolution of the water.
Leviathan.
Skeln awoke. He was trembling, his entire body gripped with a fever that drenched his skin in sweat. Kept at bay by the cold, pain returned to his body as a nearby fire banished away numbness.
Where is this?
Skeln had no strength for further words as they died in his throat. Breathing was difficult, as if a land raider was balancing on his chest. He could barely move his limbs. Even the slightest twitch of his fingers brought searing agony, so he kept still instead and heeded his senses. There was darkness, but not so thick his eyes couldn't penetrate it. Stalactites speared down from a rocky ceiling. The ground beneath him was hard and cold. Beyond, the wind still howled and chilled the beading sweat upon his brow to make him shiver.
I am in a cave.
With revelation came remembrance of the avalanche that had crushed him. The compacted ice and rock smashing into his body, bones broke, blood welled up in his mouth. Nerve endings on fire. Agony. Someone or something had dragged him clear. A rescue or a search for food. Trying to rise was a mistake. But he caught the vague impression of a hunched silhouette regarding him from the shadows before he fell back down. Half delirious from pain, Skeln drifted off in a fevered slumber. His dreams were dark, laced with red, and reeked of blood.
Wake.
Skeln blinked, unsure if he was still dreaming or if he was back amongst the living.
Wake.
The voice echoed in the cave, a low growl that lifted the hackles on the back of the Space Wolf's neck. An ache seized his entire body, as if he was tenderized meat only just off the butcher's block. But most of the pain had subsided. Inching up into a sitting position, he grimaced and reached for his knife when he saw the silhouette watching him from the darkness. It was broad, armored, and carried a palpable threat that Skeln had reacted to instinctively. A warrior.
Who are you?
Amber-colored eyes with a black pupil and iris were revealed in the darkness as the warrior leaned forwards, framed by a hirsute face.
You are Fenrisian?
You have been sleeping for almost 3 days.
He slipped back into the shadows.
It is time you rejoin the hunt.
Though still wary, Skeln released his grip on the knife.
Who are you? Did you drag me from the ice?
Rising from his haunches, the warrior turned.
Come.
Skeln bared his teeth, growling.
You should not show your back to a wolf.
His feral anger felt natural, as if a part of him buried deep underneath was pressing against the confines of his skin, stretching it, clawing at it. Were his fangs longer? His nose more like a snout? What of the hair on the back of his neck, around his face and on his hands? The darkness made it hard to tell, but even that was being stripped away as his senses cut through it. As he walked away, the warrior called out,
"Wounded, you are of little concern to me, brother."
The odor of wet fur and copper was left behind, and Skeln snorted at the stench. It was familiar. Unmistakable.
Not possible.
Skeln awoke for the second time and realized he was still in the cave. It must have been another dream. Wulfen cannot speak, and this one just had. Yet he saw the fire that was made for him and the fresh paw prints leading off to a ragged circle of light a little way ahead.